This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, you're listening to Bible Toolbox with Steve. In a previous broadcast, I started talking or showing that Moses and Jesus were connected, very, very, very well connected, not through coincidence, but through God's plan. Both Moses and Jesus had things happen to them that were so similar. Moses even said in the book of Deuteronomy, there will be somebody coming after me who is like me, a prophet coming like me who is after me. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. This is what he said in Deuteronomy 18:18. So the world was waiting for this new prophet who would speak on God's behalf. And the same things that happened to Moses happened to Christ as well, the same type of things. Moses fasted for 40 days and nights, receiving the law on Mount Sinai. You can read that in Exodus chapter 34. Jesus spent 40 days and nights fasting prior to his fulfillment of that law, and you find that in Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses. After Jesus was baptized, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And there, Satan tempted him. You know the story, how Satan told him, look, change these loaves. You're very hungry. Change these loaves into bread. And he offered Jesus all power in the world, all those kinds of things. You know the story. And each time that he said this, Jesus answered with Scripture. He spoke Scripture. Does Satan know Scripture? Oh, yeah, absolutely he does. Does he believe in Scripture? No, doesn't believe in Scripture, but he'll use it for his purposes. So both Moses and Jesus had 40 days and 40 nights of testing, one for the law on the Mount Sinai and the other for Christ beginning his ministry that would lead to his death. Moses, after he fled Egypt after killing an Egyptian, fled to a land called Midian. Midian is sort of like east of the Dead Sea. It has had various names in the past, like Edom and things like that. And there in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, you find out that he had a labor. He worked as a shepherd. Moses worked as a shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. If you look in John chapter 10 and verse 18, it says very clearly, I am the good shepherd. I look after the sheep. So, why was Moses a shepherd? I keep asking myself. Here is a man who was trained in royalty by the best minds of Egypt at the time. I mean, Egypt had already completed the pyramids, had many new inventions and things like that. This is a man who was so clever. He came from the house of Pharaoh, and yet he became a shepherd. Well, how are you going to lead upwards of 500,000 Israelites for 40 years through a desert if you don't know about sheep? People are like sheep. They follow a good leader, and a good leader knows his sheep. He knows what happens. This is the same with Christ, today's world. Jesus knows us as his sheep. If there's one lost, he will leave the 99 safely and go find the one that's lost. Are you lost? Do you know somebody that's lost? Pray to Christ. Pray to Christ. Allow him to work through your life to bring that one back to the 99. Another coincidence. Moses brought in the old covenant between God and the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, you'll see that Moses was tasked with bringing the law to the Israelites. They were still in the desert. They had fled Egypt. And God was preparing them for the coming prophet, the Savior. That's what he was doing. Jesus established the new covenant. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, he completed the old one. He finished the old one. Both covenants required the shedding of blood. Moses, once the priesthood was established, they sacrificed animals year after year after year, pushing back the sins of the people. When Christ came and was sacrificed and shed his blood, that was over. That completed the old law. He had shed his blood once and for all time. Once and for all time. Jesus taught the true meaning of the Mosaic Law. If you turn to the Sermon on the Mount, which is a lot of people's favorite. Let's find that in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. He expanded it into grace and truth and added a new commandment. Oh, Christ added a new commandment? Did you know about that? You know, we are people who like to know where we stand, aren't we? Yeah, we like to know where we stand. You can't do this in church. You can't say that in church. You can't wear this. You cannot wear that. You can't go here. You can't go here. You can't do the other thing, right? We have all these little bitty laws that the churches have and everything like that. But did you know that Christ has a commandment? He had a commandment for his disciples, and he has a commandment for us. In John chapter 13, if you go to John chapter 13, you'll read this in verse 34, okay? I am giving you a new commandment. Love one another. You must love one another just as I loved you. You must have love one another. And this is how people will know that you are my disciples. What? It's a commandment? Wait a minute. Maybe I don't like some Christians. Maybe when I go and I worship and things like that, I see Mr. and Mrs. Jones there, and they're nice people to everybody else, but I don't know, I just don't get along with them, you know? They're sort of like oil and water thing, you know? We just don't get along. Must I still love them? Well, Jesus said, a new commandment I have for you. Love one another. I gotta have no choice. They're part of God's children, just like I am a part of God's children. We're all in the same family. Moses parted the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. When they were fleeing from Pharaoh, the Israelites were trapped against the Red Sea. The Red Sea was parted for them, and they walked through. Jesus calmed the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4, even walking on it. Now, Moses didn't walk on water. Jesus walked on water. Okay? Moses fed the Israelites through the miracle of manna and quail in Exodus chapter 16. While they were stuck for 40 years in the desert, they were fed from heaven by manna and quail. Jesus fed the multitudes with the miracle of the bread and fish. First, 5,000 men in Mark chapter 16, and then to 4,000 men in Mark chapter 8. Wow. Talk about coincidence, right? God spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 31, but he had to cover his face from God's brilliance. Jesus also experienced an intense illumination in the presence of his Father in Luke chapter 9. This is a transfiguration on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. Moses initiated the first Passover in Egypt in Exodus chapter 12. You read all the commandments and everything that they had to do in order to prepare for the Passover. The first one was done in Egypt thousands of years ago. Jesus initiated the last Passover in Matthew chapter 26. He's not going to celebrate this with us, and he will not eat of this until he returns. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 11:26, you'll see. When Christ returns, that's when he will partake of the last Passover with us. But he initiated the last one on earth. Moses and Jesus were commissioned to save the people, but rejected by their own. Moses always faced grumbling opposition and rebellion even within the ranks of the Israelites whom he had led out of Egypt, out of slavery. Jesus was mocked and taunted and plotted to be killed by the religious leaders of Israel, people who should know the difference, people who should know the law and understand and recognize who he is. Moses led the people out of bondage into the promised land. Just as Jesus will free people from the bondage of sin to make a way to heaven where he is now preparing a place for the saved. You turn to John chapter 14. He tells his disciples, I'm leaving you. I'm going away. Thomas was the only bright one in the group to say, Lord, where are you going? What's happened? Where are you going? He's preparing a place for us. He's been doing it for over 2,000 years. It's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be an absolutely unimaginable place that we can't even think or hope or expect. It's going to be a place Christ has prepared for those who believe and follow him faithfully. So why was there so many links between Moses and Jesus? The answer could be a simple one. God had chosen Israel to secure the Messiah's presence, used their father Moses, whom they revered, as a precursor for Christ, who then provided salvation for all nations. We are part of all nations. I'm not Jewish. I know I have some friends who are Jewish. They sadly do not believe in Christ. But the freedom of life that God provides is for all, is for everyone. It's not just for Jews. It's for everybody, even for those who are listening to my voice now. I hope you are part of the family of Christ. If not, then I urge you to accept Christ as your Savior. Thank you so much for listening.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.